everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, remind me 6 months from now, 7 months from now, when I'm complaining, griping about, oh, it is so hot, that you can say, Bill, think back to that January 11th day when we had a nice day, almost 70 degrees.
Are we going to be in the middle of another drought?
I hope not.
I hope not, too.
Buckmaster on Tuesday, January 11th, 2022. It could be worse. You could be in New York City where it's like 18 degrees. We're in our 12th year on the radio show here, 34th year beginning on TV and radio in Tucson. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Governor Ducey delivered his State of the State address yesterday at the state capitol to kick off the 2022 legislative session. Joining us on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, newly appointed state lawmaker, Representative Morgan Abraham, a Democrat representing LD-10 here in Tucson. Representative Abraham was appointed by the Pima County Board of Supervisors last month to fill the seat of Stephanie Stahl Hamilton, who resigned in October after she was appointed to fill the Senate seat vacated by Kirsten Engel, who's running for Congress. Morgan Abraham, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me, how does it feel to be a state lawmaker and now you're officially in session?
I think the best way to describe it is it's like drinking water from a fire hose. I had a month to get ready for this. I was so grateful to get the appointment by the Pima County Board of Supervisors, but only having a month to gear up, I mean, it's been a lot of people, a lot of policy issues, and then, of course, yesterday getting to listen to the governor's State of the State speech. It's a lot to take in, but I think I'm up for it, and I'm really excited to get to work.
Boy, the governor talked about President Biden a lot in his State of the State. You'd think he'd be just focusing on Arizona.
That's what I would have hoped, and he did talk a lot about some really cool policy ideas that I'm looking forward to working with him on, but I wasn't pleased with the attention to a lot of federal issues. That's the governor's prerogative. It sounded like a speech of someone that's maybe running for the next office and not the current office. But having said that, there's still plenty that he did say that I think we can work on together, and I'm optimistic for Tucson and Pima County to make life better.
Let's take a dive into what are some of those areas that you feel encouraged that you can work across the aisle with some programs.
And I think that's the key idea is I'm a Democrat, but there's 29 of us in my house, the House of Representatives. And so I need bipartisan coalition to get anything done here. And that's just the nature of this body right now. So there's a couple really wonderful things he talked about that I'm optimistic we can create that coalition. One of them is water. The governor talked about $1 billion infrastructure item for desalinization. Water is an incredibly important issue for the state of Arizona. You know, as a Tucsonan, it's something that I think about a lot. So I'm really excited to get the details of that plan, see how it impacts Tucson and Pima County and the state of Arizona, and hopefully work with his office and with the other side of the aisle on getting something done for Tucsonans and Pima County residents.
How about education?
Education, there wasn't as much as I would have liked. The governor chose to focus on vouchers for private schools. I think we just need to fund education more. I don't think that's a controversial idea. You know, I think most residents in Arizona would agree we are drastically underfunding education. And what a beautiful opportunity to do that. We have billions of dollars in surplus right now. And I think it'd be wonderful to put our money where our mouth is and actually fund education for once. So I, even though the governor didn't talk about that a lot and it clearly wasn't a big priority for him, I'm still optimistic that something can get done for education, to pay teachers more and also to fund the classrooms that our children are going to.
Thanks to an infusion of federal money, the rainy day fund is just exploding with cash. $2 billion and counting. Would you like to see some of that money go to underfunded programs in this state?
Absolutely. And we've been in Arizona running a very, very lean budget in the years past. you know, after 2008, we made a lot of hard choices to run a balanced budget, and I think that was a great idea at the time. But now we're in such a great position to fund some of these programs that we had to cut in the wake of the recession. So again, I mean, what a wonderful opportunity for our state, for our region, that we have so much surplus money and we get to invest. And that's a big word I use because I am an investor here in Tucson. We get to invest in education, in our state, and in our future. So I'm lucky to be here right now and very optimistic to hopefully work with the other side to try to get things done.
Some would question, and I know Democrats have been questioning the claim that Governor Ducey made that Arizona, quote, protected lives during the pandemic. A lot of people, Morgan Abraham, would disagree with that. And especially, I understand there are really no protocols, COVID-19 protocols in place for you and your lawmakers.
You're absolutely right. Got some text messages this morning. I happened to be in the front page of the local paper in Phoenix, the Arizona Republic. The governor is prominent, but I'm in the background, and I'm the only one masked in the entire photo. I mean,
wow.
We're talking about hundreds of people. And mind you, most of my Democratic colleagues were masked yesterday. But you're right, there's no protections. And, you know, for someone like me, I signed up for this job. You know, I knew what I was getting into, and I'm going to be running again to continue this job. So, I'm not the biggest concern. But, you know, if you're someone that wants to come here, come to the people's house, and advocate for something you believe in, I feel you have a right to a safe environment. And simple precautions like masking is something that I personally think is reasonable. So it was unfortunate to see the majority of that chamber unmasked and not really caring about the pandemic we're in. But again, you know, this is the reality of the situation. You know, I'm in the minority party here. There's 29 of us, 31 Republicans, and we have to do whatever we can to work with the other side to try to get things done.
And there will be no provisions for those. At least one lawmaker has said that she did not want to come in to the chamber and wanted to work remotely. But there are no provisions this year, as there were last year, for those that want to take that route.
Right. Representative Solomons, who you're talking about, she's about to have a child today, is her due date, potentially this week. And unfortunately, there's no protection for her, you know, whether that's masking or any set of other buffers for her to maybe vote not in person. So it's not a policy I agree with. I know our party, our caucus, the Democratic caucus, has been advocating to the Speaker's office to make that change, make an exemption for, you know, members in that case. So far, we haven't been successful, but, you know, it's an issue, in my opinion, that shouldn't be partisan. You know, let Representative Solomon be able to vote from her office or from home while she's, you know, expecting a child at any given day.
Morgan Abraham is with us. He's a freshman lawmaker, District Number 10, Democrat. Are you going to try to get some legislation yourself moving forward, Morgan?
Absolutely. So I'm a local affordable housing builder. Real estate is something I know well, and I am of the belief that we're in an affordable housing crisis, not just in Tucson, not just in Pima County, but across the entire state. So I'm really optimistic that I'm working bipartisan, you know, a couple Republicans and a couple Democrats on a piece of legislation that hopefully will help alleviate some of the pressure on rents that are skyrocketing in my community, and also buying entry-level homes. Those prices are skyrocketing too. So that's something that I know well, being a home builder and an apartment builder, and I'm hoping to be able to lend my perspective on that process. And I hope that type of legislation doesn't get polarized, because affordable housing should be an issue both sides care deeply about and should want to fix.
Boy, you're going to get to know I-10 over the next couple of months, 3 months, 4 months, who knows.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And yesterday, part of the governor's speech was to, you know, maybe to speed up the third lane of I-10 right before Casa Grande. It's something that I think every Tucsonan can get behind. Who wouldn't want that third lane going up to Phoenix, you know, where that bottleneck occurs? So again, another piece of hopeful legislation, infrastructure, that both parties can get behind, come together, and make life better for Arizonans.
Representative Morgan Abraham, good catching up with you. Good luck with the session. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks a lot. Morgan Abraham, Democrat representing Legislative District Number 10. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. That's Mona's Danish Bakery. And they had such a great holiday season. And I'll tell you, Tucson and Pima County really rallied to Mona's, and people were putting in those orders for pies and Danish Kringles. And now it's back to business on a daily basis. They are open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 for a great breakfast. And I'll tell you, their pastries are outstanding. Not just the Danish Kringle and its cousin, the Danish coffee cake, but the croissants, the chocolate brownies. I could go on and on. Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website, really nice. They've upgraded the website. It's got a picture, got the full menu with the picture, and it shows exactly what you will get. And I know what you will get, you will be happy with. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. Shelley Fishman with me in studio. And Shelley's giving me now a thumbs up. If he had been here a couple of hours ago, that would not have been the case with the financial markets. Let's take a break, then we'll hear from Shelley Fishman. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. I remarked before the break that earlier today it looked like it was going to be a pretty down day on the market. That was more this carryover from, I guess, last week. Somebody got a hold of the December minutes of one of the Fed people, and it just like... Some are even saying this has really kind of been an overreaction.
Of course it's an overreaction.
It is an
overreaction. Hi, Bill. How are you today?
How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing fine, especially now that the market's kind of turned around.
Yes.
But what we have, first of all, is the beginning of the year. You always get some sort of correction as people try to understand what the prior year resulted in and whether or not, in retrospect, the year deserved the results that we actually got. Last year turned out to be a very good year for the markets, and you scratch your head and go, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and there are some real questions about inflation, and why in the world would the market go up 20%?
Mm-hmm.
But it did.
Yeah.
So I think people are beginning to reevaluate a little bit. When you put all the rumors aside and all of that, the real issue is going to be whether the Fed gets really aggressive in trying to tame inflation and raises interest rates more quickly than they had originally indicated they might.
Like originally they said three. Now they're saying they may go every quarter.
Yeah.
Four.
At first they said maybe two, and they would put it off till the end of the year. So we're at nearly zero now. If we even have three interest rate increases of a quarter of a percent,
big deal,
we're still
right?
going to be under 1%. Now, that is kind of a big deal, but it will have more psychological effect, I think, than real economic effect. The important thing is not so much the quantitative effect of what the Fed does, but the psychological impact of what they say.
Hmm.
And so what you'll see is, especially since Mr. Powell is up against hearings on verifying him again or reappointing him as Fed chair. So he is going to have an opportunity to say an awful lot in public and in public fora about what he did, why he's done it, where he wants to go. He's a Republican appointed by a Democrat, and as a result, he'll probably get a fair shake, but at this point, we're so polarized that because he's been now reappointed by a Democrat, he's probably going to be pushed against the wall a little bit, and the markets will react.
He'll be saying a lot, in other words, and there will be plenty of room for reaction.
Precisely.
On the markets. All right, I want to talk about employment, unemployment. When you talk about unemployment, we're actually, I think, pretty much at what you could consider like full employment now in this country.
You know, anything between 4 and 5% unemployment is considered very close to full employment.
Right.
We're down at 3.9. That said, we have an additional 4 million people fewer working today than we had, and I'm rounding numbers clearly, 4 million fewer people in the workforce today than we had a few years ago before the pandemic. And so you scratch your head and say, wait a second, how can we have such good unemployment numbers, 3.9%, and yet more people not working than we've had in a long time? And, you know, you have population growth, you have some immigration coming in. That would indicate that the workforce should grow. And instead, it shrunk a little bit. We're, you know, down from about 65% overall employment rate down to about 63%. And it doesn't sound like a big number, but when you're looking at, you know, 170, 180 million people in the workforce, 2% is a big number.
Trying to find, and the help wanted sign is out in
everywhere. And that's the thing. Anybody who wants to work now
right.
can find a job. Mm-hmm. Now, it might not be the job they really want to have,
mm-hmm.
but they can find a way to earn a living.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really not want to work to not work. Now, it's possible that you're afraid. It's possible that you have kids to take care of. There's any number of things. It's possible that you're 64 and kind of thinking about retiring, and you know, you don't really want to work at that job anymore. There's just a lot of anecdotal evidence to suggest that everybody has now given it some thought. Mm-hmm. What do I really want to be when I grow up?
Right.
And, you know, what does growing up mean? Mm-hmm. You know, does growing up mean you go from 19 to 20 mm-hmm. or from 64 to 70?
Mm-hmm.
So this pandemic has really made it, and let's look at it in a positive aspect, made it possible for people to reevaluate some of the things that they took for granted and maybe make some different decisions. That said, we have a shortage of labor. We have almost 6 million jobs available today, and they're not being filled. So we have to look at immigration as a potential for filling in at the lower income levels in order to allow other businesses to begin to meet their needs. You and I have talked about this a bunch, and I'm gonna beat this dead horse. We need a national job corps. We need to have kids out of high school have the opportunity or responsibility to serve the country for a year, or two optionally, and that would be rewarded by, you know, free tuition and kind of a GI Bill
right.
of Rights.
Sure.
But we need to train our high school graduates. We need to make sure that they don't feel lost when they get out of high school in terms of what they're going to do. We need to help them find the career that they really want to have. And a National Service Corps is one very serious and important way to do that. If we don't do that, we're going to find, especially now with the infrastructure bill, we're going to see some part of Build Back Better get done.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to find ourselves unable to fill the jobs that are available mm-hmm. because we don't either have the skills or we don't have the people willing to do the work. And that is going to slow down the economy. So right now it's all about, you know, COVID. Right now, that's the uncertainty, the big fundamental
mm-hmm.
that's causing us so much problems. But once we get past this, and I don't know whether it's going to be one quarter, two quarters, or however many, then the fundamental that's really going to be working in the economy to slow things down is our inability to meet the demand for goods and services and to meet the demand for people who provide those goods and services.
You were talking about this National Service Corps even before COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And it just seems like now more than ever we need this program.
And with the political divide in the country so extreme, it's hard to imagine that something like that could be seriously proposed and get through Congress. But I really think that it's something that we have to talk a lot more about. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. But the idea that men, women, abled and differently abled, getting out of high school or who don't even finish high school should have an obligation to serve this country. You and I had that obligation as men in the 60s and 70s. But it should be everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that obligation should be at least a year long with an option to extend it another year. And in return for that extension, to get some benefits that would really be meaningful to people's lives. It also, you know, Bill, it gets people meeting each other.
Yeah. Think of the opportunities that would develop
really
out of that.
To really bridge the gaps that we have politically in this country. It'd be a great idea. And if I could wave a magic wand and make it happen, I would.
It's just amazing, though, that you were saying 4 million more people not working today than that were working 3 years ago.
That's correct. Even though the population has gone up,
mm-hmm.
Now some of them are retired. Some of them have very, very good reasons for not working
mm-hmm.
Because for one reason or another, they can't. But to a very great extent, people are reevaluating their lives. We're seeing, you know, shortages in trucking. We've seen shortages in service employment. And you know, people just don't want to work for minimum wage or below minimum wage. And they think they don't have to, and they're right.
So you think the supply chain issue is going to be with us at least through this quarter because of Omicron?
Yeah, you know, you don't need to be a brilliant economist to understand that if you don't have trucks to deliver the stuff, it ain't going to get on the shelves.
Yeah.
So that's a really important problem. I think it will mitigate over time. I also think people are spending, you know, we had this pent-up demand and all the money to spend. That money is running out now. So we're going to see demand normalizing. We'll see supply over time normalizing, and that'll bring inflation down on its own. However, if Mr. Powell and the Fed panic and start overreacting to this inflation problem, it could really slow down the economy in ways that we might regret over long term.
Okay, Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. We will see you next Tuesday for your Tuesday Moneymaker Report at 12:15. Shelley, I hope you have a great rest of the week.
You too. Stay healthy.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show. Up next, Pima County Board of Supervisors Chairwoman Sharon Bronson.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. You know, the temperature is around 70 degrees, upper 60s. Gets me thinking about spring planting, and Green Things has everything you need for your garden. To get that spring planting underway, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, go by, ask some of the very knowledgeable employees, you know, what would be something great for spring that might not really be impacted if we have a frost or two or hard freeze, which is probably going to happen before St. Patrick's Day. It's going to happen inevitably, but there are things that you could plant now that would be frost tolerant. So check it out. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. Their sister business on their beautiful 13-acre site is Zocalo Village, and their website is ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Sharon Bronson, the chairwoman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Sharon, how are you?
I am fine, and congratulations. This is what, your 1 year?
Start of year 12 and then start of year 34 since I came to town to do Arizona Illustrated on Channel 6 the first week in January of 1988. So, yeah, 34 years in town here.
Wow.
Didn't get off the bus yesterday.
No.
Hey, congratulations. Good news for the family. Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry, the family announced that Mr. Huckleberry is home 2.5 months after that devastating accident. He was hit by a car while bicycling downtown on October 23rd. He's now receiving intensive therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. So we're glad now at least he's home.
Yes, we are, and we're hoping he will come back soon. But it's a journey, correct?
Huh, no kidding. You're talking to somebody that's, what, I'm 6-7 months into physical therapy every Wednesday, and I probably got at least three more months to go. And I was just thinking about that today. It is a journey, and it just, these things do not correct themselves overnight, believe me.
No, nothing is overnight, you know, or not. It just, you know, we can't get there. No miracles. It takes hard work.
Well, we wish certainly all the best for Chuck and his family. My friends over at TucsonSentinel.com had a piece today saying that when all is said and done, Sharon Bronson, just 16 regular full-time government employees out of 2,000 at Pima County did not comply with the vaccination policy. That's pretty good.
Yes, how could I say it isn't? my concern is, why didn't they, and how do we thread the needle with, you know, the Omicron? Apparently there's a new variation. So, yes, one day at a time, but, you know, at the end, I think we did this with looking at how employees, who our employees are. I think we did it with some deference, gave them some ability, and when they didn't comply, I don't know how we could have done anything else. I wish we could have, but we need to keep our vulnerable populations safe, and that's what we did. It was tough, but here we are.
The situation at the jail, I said 17 full 16 full-time government employees, but if you include the total number terminated, it's 56, and a lot of those people worked at the jail. Are we in trouble at the jail, or has Sheriff Nanos, is he able to get those positions filled with temporary people, or what?
We'll have to ask him that, but I think he is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they released, I, in terms of who they did at the jail, I don't think it was that many, but there were a total of 56 dismissals, and many of them were assigned to other duties. So keeping the keeping our county safe, I think we're there. And kudos to Sheriff Nanos. He did a great job. But again, we're on a, you and I have already said that we're on a journey. We don't know where COVID is going to take us next, but we need to keep people safe, bottom line.
I want to talk a little bit about the situation with transportation. The city has been kind of indicating they would go it alone on transportation. Where are we in as we begin 2022 on that front?
You'll have to ask the mayor, but I think the rest of the jurisdictions think we need to do it together. And I am hopeful we will get there. If you look at the numbers with PAG and what the city of Tucson, the amount of monies they have received, I think it's been equitable. But again, we're in a transition stage, so let's hope that it will be a peaceful one where we all come together and do what's right, which is repair our roads and do what we can. And, you know, the challenge isn't only, you know, are we, you know, the RTA, are we going out? But it's also what's going on at the state level. We don't get the monies that we should get from HURF, the Highway User Revenue Funds. And that's something we need to take up with the legislature.
We have only a couple of minutes left. Matt has called us. Matt, please make your question very brief for Sharon Bronson.
Yes, thank you. Sharon, a quick comment. I know that the board had to make a tough decision on letting go of employees, and I know that would cause a lot of consternation between different board members and even the community at large. Is there any way that that we could incentivize that these employees that were terminated could be offered a chance to fast track reemployment with the county again if they meet the conditions that you guys outlined in whatever that is for employment? Anyway, it's just a thought, and again, wish you guys well. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I think we already did that, and we're hoping they will pay attention to it. But again, you know, I think the other piece is the governor and his state of the state address, which is literally he's sitting on billions of dollars.
At least $2 billion for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it's time for him to step up and give counties money. That's my view for today, but I was a little disappointed with his state of the state of speech because again, he claimed that he did a great job, and the great job he did was because he was sitting on the federal money and had it. It had nothing to do with our budget or the state budget. It was everything the feds gave us, and he's still sitting on it. So I would encourage him just to share the bounty, and I'm not sure he will, but
spread it around a little bit, right?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have to run. Sharon Bronson, thank you very much, and happy New Year to you. Thank you.
You too. Bye.
All right. Sharon Bronson with us on the Buckmaster Show. Up next, Margaret Regan, longtime Tucson Weekly arts reporter, after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Albernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's perfect hiking weather over in Silver City. Highs around 60 degrees. That's a good time that is going to be had if you head over there, a three-hour drive from Tucson, and then do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Maybe take the down jacket or the down vest, but nothing wrong with 60 degrees to get out and about in a beautiful area of the Southwest. Start your planning now by visiting Southwest New Mexico. Just spell it out, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of great information about where to stay, and there are so many things to do in Silver City. Margaret Regan has been writing since 1990. About the Tucson arts community for the Tucson Weekly. She's the author of two prize-winning books on immigration, and we're happy to welcome her back to the show. Margaret, how is the new year treating you so far?
Oh, well, it's a beautiful day today. It was very cold yesterday.
Yes, it was. And you got out and about, went over to see Broadway and Tucson's presentation of My Fair Lady last week. What was that like? Everybody all masked up in the audience?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I felt like, should I really be doing this? But I really, really love that play, My Fair Lady. And I went by myself, and everybody was well-behaved. You know, everybody had their masks on. It did feel like a lot of people in one room, but I loved the show and came home, and I did not get sick, and I think people seem to be ready to go out. Wicked is coming up January 26th. That's a very popular show, and it goes on for a long time till February the 6th. So I think that some people are really willing to go back out there, and you have to show your vaccine card or your negative test. So I guess it's doing okay. What do you think?
People are willing to get out in spite of Omicron, which I think is going to be, it's already peaking New York and on the East Coast, and it looks like in California. So hopefully we'll get a peak here in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But people are going to theater. They're going to the Arizona Theater Company. They're going to Broadway in Tucson. They're still getting out and about. So, I think there's the audience is there, and they're coming back. I want to talk a little bit about Big Jim Griffith. My goodness. a lot of people were introduced to Big Jim on our program Arizona Illustrated on Channel 6 that I hosted for 22 years, because every Monday night we did something called Arizona Traditions, and that was about a 4 or 5 minute video piece with Big Jim.
And every week?
Oh, every week, yes.
So great, wasn't he?
He was wonderful, and some of those stories about that he told, about one that comes to mind, the Santa Cruz River sand trout.
Oh, I know.
He'd go out fish with a fishing pole there, and standing in the Santa Cruz, here's this dry river bed, and he was fishing for this imaginary fish, the sand trout. But I think everybody's got Big Jim stories, including. I guess the Weekly's this Thursday is going to have a cover story about the late Big Jim Griffith.
Yeah, so Jim Nintzel, our editor, decided that we should all just tell little stories. He wanted to get a lot of people who had known Jim. And so my story was about the day I first met him. I'll just read it to you briefly. I said, one day around 1995, that was a long time ago, a giant walked into my office at the Tucson Weekly. At 6'7", he easily towered over my 5'4" frame. But he was a gentle giant with a massive smile. He took one look at me, gave me one of those big smiles, and said, "You have the map of Ireland all over your face."
Wow.
And I'm like, really? Oh, I'm so excited, you know, because I'm so always proud of being Irish and everything. And here's the guy. He's a renowned folklorist for the peoples of northern Mexico and southern Arizona. But he was interested in everybody. I mean, he did a wonderful, all those wonderful books he did, 9 books about the Yaqui, the Mayo, the Tuano Atum, Mexicanos. But he was always interested in everybody, and that's what the annual, Tucson Meet Yourself. That's what that was about. It was about all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a real character, and he just had this region written all over him, and he was a great guy. We'll miss Big Jim, and that's going to be a nice tribute coming up in the Weekly on Thursday. You know, I go by that mini art, the Mini Time Machine Museum of Miniatures every day coming to work.
Oh, you do?
I have not been to the place. I've always wondered about it.
Well, are you able to say its full name? The Mini Time Mini Time Machine Museum.
Mini Time Machine Museum of Miniatures.
Yeah. Oh. I have to say, I should be there more often. I only once did a story there, which was really pretty interesting to learn all this stuff. But what they're doing this time is they're doing something local artists. I guess this is one of their ongoing things, you know, because a lot of these mini things are from all over the country and all over the world, in fact. But so this one is opening today, and I haven't seen it yet. Two local artists, Rudy Flores and Teresa Estrella, they have made 187 tiny figures of real-life Tucsonans, and they use material that makes them look like a little boy's army soldier. I bet you had some of those army soldiers when you were a little boy.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, here's this thing. They use 3D printing, which I don't really understand how that works, but they say they're getting better and better at it. They had a show about this a couple years back in 2017, and they said that the printing is getting better and better all the time. They can do even more real-life things. But they said it's really about the pandemic right now, and these are all these good people in Tucson and how they've weathered it. But you know, you can go there and see them, and they're these little tiny soldier people.
Okay.
So I think you should stop.
Yeah, I should.
Go on your way to work.
I should stop.
See them.
The Tucson Museum of Art has a show of note that we should tell our listeners about.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing. I haven't seen this one yet. I kind of took some weeks off there around the holidays, so I'm a little bit behind. But, yeah, Patrick Martinez, Look What You Created. He's an up-and-coming young artist from Los Angeles. And this is about, you know, a lot of the terrible things that we've gone through in the last year, not only the pandemic, but all the, you know, discrimination and deaths. And he says he's exploring personal, civic, and cultural loss in communities of color. Discrimination, displacement, and demands accountability and transparency.
Hmm.
So it's called Look What You Created, and he said that's meant to be both sober and good. You know, look what you created before and things that are not so good, but now he's saying, what can you create now and make this a better place? So I'm curious to see it. He's a young guy, born in 1980 and doing really well, you know, with his art. So that should be one of my next things coming up for the paper.
How about Arizona Theater Company? I mentioned them briefly at the beginning of our interview. They've got a show coming up.
Yeah, Women in Jeopardy. It's supposed to be a fun thing. A woman, she's really likes a dentist, but she thinks he's a creep, and I guess it's a funny show. But again, you know, my husband and I went right before Christmas to they had a kind of a Christmas play in December, and that was the first time that we had gone back to the theater, and there were a lot of empty seats, which is upsetting in a way, but it's also good because it makes people feel that they're safe. And we had a delightful time there. Same thing, when you get there, you have to show your vaccine card. So there, people are really trying. And if you belong to them, or even if you don't belong to the membership, you can get the plays online. I did that one time in the fall, and it's not the same as being right there in the theater. You know?
Hey.
So I think we're going to try it again. We'll just get in there and try to stay safe and, you know, help these people get along, too.
Margaret, I've only got a couple of seconds. Are you hearing anything about the Tucson Festival of Books in March?
They're having it.
They're going ahead.
Yes. Yeah.
Not virtual, but regular, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh? And before we go, I must congratulate you on your 12 years in radio and 34 years in TV and radio. So good for you.
Yeah. 34 years, started on Arizona Illustrated Channel 6, January of 1988.
Yeah, well, good for
and
you.
That's when I first kind of met Big Jim and that whole thing with his segment, which was so popular. All right, Margaret, thank you very much. Hope the new year is going to be very good to you. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All right. Okay. The Buckmaster Show, wrapping it up here. Thanks to Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Dave Ramsey going to tell us all about how to handle our money in a prudent and timely fashion. We'll hope you have a great afternoon.